in Russia. There is a mausoleum standing in the Red Square where the body of Vladimir Lenin is on display. Lenin died in January of 1924 during a turbulent time in early Soviet history. The remaining communist leaders were terrified that their regime would come toppling down after his death. So they decided to put his body on display for a week in order to make the statement that Lenin and his teaching would live on. At first, they were afraid no one would come to view Lenin's embalmed body. But over 100,000 people stood in long lines in the bitter January cold to catch a glimpse of Lenin's corpse. So the leaders decided to extend the viewing to 40 days. Lenin's body is now on perpetual display in the Red Square in Moscow. And all this was done to prop up a Soviet leader and the things he taught with the sense of having an eternal quality. And many have come to view his body out of curiosity, yes, but moreover, out of their devotion to their dead leader. It was this sense of deep devotion to their dead leader that brought the two Marys to Jesus' tomb early that Sunday morning. They weren't expecting to find a resurrected Savior. They were simply expecting to anoint their friend and teacher's dead body with oils and perfumes out of their devotion to him. They loved Jesus, and this was the one way they would express that love one last time. But how different would history have been had his body been there? Had they anointed his body with oil and laid him tenderly in the tomb and sealed it off? No doubt thousands, if not millions, of followers would remember his words and consider him a great teacher and would line up to see the sealed tomb where this great teacher lay. But our hope would be empty of all its meaning and power had Jesus been lying there in the tomb. Yet Jesus was not in the tomb. As we see in Mark 16:6, the angel met the women in the tomb and said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here." The women couldn't anoint his dead body and lay it back in the tomb because Jesus wasn't in the tomb and he wasn't dead. We can't travel to Israel today and stand in front of a sealed tomb where Jesus' badly decomposed body lies quietly in repose because Jesus isn't reposed. He is risen. How amazing is that? Think about that. Jesus is alive. He is risen. He has ascended to the right hand of God the Father, and one day he will return to this planet in power and glory. This Easter morning, we have the privilege of once again standing before the empty tomb in joyful amazement and consider what the resurrection means to us. But before we do, let's briefly talk about one of the challenges we find in Mark's account of the resurrection. If you notice, and if you have ever looked in your Bible, the challenge is, where exactly does the Gospel of Mark end? So in your Bibles, if you've ever taken a look, you probably have seen a note at verse 9 that says something to the effect that the most reliable early manuscripts and other ancient witnesses do not have Mark 16:9-20. And that's because the writing style of these verses is different from Mark's writing style. And although everything in these verses agree with the other passages of Scripture, most scholars do not accept verses 9-20 as part of Mark's original gospel. So then, what does that mean? That means then that verse 8 is the way that the gospel ends, which seems like an unlikely way, right, to end the gospel. So it says this: "So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Although such an ending would fit Mark's frequent references to the amazement and fear that people felt at the power of Jesus, nonetheless, it feels very abrupt and incomplete as an ending. It feels like there should be more, doesn't it? An appearance by Jesus to the disciples, or a commission by Jesus, a sense of joy, not fear and trembling. So did Mark write a closing summation that is significantly different than his original writing style? Or did he end on a note of fear and trembling? Or was there another ending that was somehow lost? We can't really know for certain. So each of us has to decide where our personal convictions fall on the matter. But oddly enough, I think that verse 8 does give us a good launching point to consider the amazing truth of the resurrection on this Easter morning. For after seeing the angel and hearing his message, after seeing the empty tomb, the two women fled from the tomb. They're not rejoicing. They're not high-fiving each other and excited to tell the others what they've seen. They're shocked. They're astonished. And they're afraid, very afraid. At first, we might think that their reaction is out of step with what they've seen. Because isn't the resurrection of Jesus the very best news that they could have ever heard? Isn't that what their broken hearts long to hear? Absolutely. But in real life, joy wouldn't be the first emotion in a moment like that. The sheer magnitude and unexpectedness of what they saw would leave them in a state of shock and awe. As we consider the empty tomb, we don't have to be afraid, but we should be in awe of the massive implications of the resurrection. The resurrection should never fail to stir in our souls a deep sense of amazement and wonder, as well as an indestructible sense of hope. So let me mention two things about the resurrection that should fill our hearts with awe, and a third that should fill our hearts with faith. First, we should be in awe that Jesus is alive. Jesus really died on the cross. It wasn't an act or an illusion, and the angel even confirmed it in verse 6, said, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified." Jesus was crucified. Jesus died on a cross. To us, death is irreversible. We can prop up a dead person, kind of like what that communist regime did with Lenin, but we have no power to resurrect him. He's dead. Not a flicker of life. No, his heart isn't beating, his lungs doesn't take any air in, his brain isn't functioning, there's no blood running through his veins. His body is an empty shell. He is dead, and nothing we can do can bring him back. Which is why it is so amazing that Jesus isn't dead. He's alive. What kind of power does it take to bring a dead person back to life? Think about it. We have all kinds of powers, right? From electricity to fossil fuel to nuclear fission. But none of these powers can come close to raising the dead. Their power has no power to raise the dead back to life. Resurrection power is a power greater than the power of death. It is a power that death cannot defeat. It can only succumb to. Death didn't voluntarily give up Jesus. It was destroyed by Jesus. And if Jesus is risen and alive, then his words are alive as well. All that Jesus taught and said is true. We don't need to prop it up. It stands on its own as irrefutable and irresistible truth. We can reject it and refuse what Jesus says, or we can bow our knees to Jesus, who is alive, and believe his claims on our lives. On this Easter morning, it is appropriate to be in awe that Jesus is alive. And second, we need to be in awe that Jesus gives eternal life to all who believe in him. If Jesus is alive, then his claims are alive as well. And one of the claims that Jesus made is that he has the power to give eternal life to all who believe in him. In his prayer, just before being arrested, Jesus prayed to his Father. And he said this, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may give eternal life to all whom you have given him." Death is all we've ever known, but it wasn't part of the original creation. Death entered the world when sin entered the world. When Jesus was crucified, his atoning death was full payment for our sins. When Jesus was resurrected, he broke the power that death had over us. Death has no power over us anymore if we're trusting in him. Jesus gives eternal life to all who believe in him. And lastly, we need to have faith that Jesus has given us resurrection life right now. The women fled from the empty tomb in fear, but this morning, may the Lord help us leave the empty tomb not in fear, but in faith. The Bible tells us that those who believe in Jesus have resurrection life flowing in us right now. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans 8, "The spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his spirit that dwells in you." God's spirit lives in us. And if we as believers walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, the spirit will give spiritual life to our physical bodies now. We have the power to walk in resurrection life, to have greater victories over sin, greater boldness to witness, and greater faith to accomplish the purposes the Lord has for us in our lifetime. But to access that resurrection life, we need to walk in faith. During this Lenten season, we have been discovering what it means to be purveyors of all. We have journeyed for several weeks, reminding ourselves that life in the world is full of awe. And as we have been curating a life of spiritual depth, we have seen beauty. We have opened to wonder. We have searched for meaning with curiosity. We have delighted in the gifts of the Divine One. We have reconnected with each other and remembered the joy of self-giving on behalf of a better world. This morning is the most awe-filled of all. Our faith story is ultimately about the victory of life over death. We are in awe that Jesus is alive and all he taught and said is true. We are in awe that Jesus gives eternal life to all who believe in him. Death has no power over him or us. And we have resurrection life right within us, right now, through the Holy Spirit, who helps us walk in faith and live our lives for Jesus. The tomb is empty. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. So go live in awe of God and the awe-filled life that God has given you. Seek God's awe all around you and live with God's spirit and resurrection power within you. For Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified, has been raised from the dead. He is alive. Hallelujah. And amen. Amen.